Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Sports Arena on a Monday night. Your man Eric Wilson alongside my brother, 18 Strong. He's a Sun Devil, Jerry. ASU forks up, and I have to say congratulations to him because Thursday night his team handled their business, and you know, they beat the divisional opponent, New York Giants. So congrats to Mike. As I will say, all is not right with the world because Dallas won, Philly lost, and I am just not in a good mood. So, you know, but good evening to you, Michael Caratenuto.
Hey, man, you know, truly good evening. I know we're going to talk about Mutombo, but E, before, that's why I jumped on. I mean, I know obviously it was before the show, but I jumped in a teeny bit late. Pete Rose passed away. Just breaking news.
I
figure you may have, but yeah, 83 years old, and I mean, look, we can go into it, I mean, another time, but I mean, the man, look, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but I guess if Major League Baseball is going to hold through the lifetime ban and they're not going to put in the guys that we know or they know did steroids, then I guess even though, you know, he was betting as a manager, not a player, I mean, that is crazy because you still talk about the history and impact of baseball players, and you can't have you're not going to have a conversation of that without Pete Rose in it. So may he rest in peace. I did see him a few times in Vegas. Shook his hand once. I'm like, man, my mom and dad would be really stoked right now. And I said, I love watching him play too. But I'm saying, I remember hearing stories, you know, when he first started, E, and, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, you look at it and how can your all-time hits leader, even though the memorabilia is in the Hall of Fame, he's not in the Hall of Fame, which.
Well, I mean, listen, we had that conversation a while back here on the Sports Arena.
Yes,
it was one of those things where we had people tell us, you know, there are just those unwritten, unspoken rules that will basically, as I like to say, not get you into the cookout. And in this case, you know, Pete Rose, unfortunately, doing what he did was one of those unwritten rules that, you know, again, we can go back and we can share our memories and have those conversations. Do I feel like he deserves to be in the Hall? I am torn because, granted, like you said, what he did as a manager, it's one of those things where it's an unforgivable offense in the world of Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, right now, rest in peace to Pete Rose. I don't know if this is going to change things. We will discuss that moving forward. But like you said, to start the show here tonight, you know, Dikembe Mutombo. I think it was just recently that I was somewhere and I was doing the whole no. You know what I mean? And granted, he is definitely more than just a commercial. I mean, what he did on an international level for the NBA, his presence, his sheer force as a player in the NBA, he is going to be truly missed. But I think the biggest thing people are going to miss about him is his smile.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Like, it's one of those things too where, you know, and we've all seen, you know, obviously with the, you know, when the Last Dance came out, we were talking about that, people still watching The Last Dance. I mean, I know you and I, every now and then I'll send you some stuff on Jordan. I forgot to send you the one I saw today. They were saying Michael Jordan, Eric, had come out of retirement and not score a point for 114 straight games, and he would still average more career points, have a higher career point average than LeBron James.
Like, you say, no, look, this ain't about LeBron tonight, but I get what you're saying.
No, but I'm saying
everybody remembers
it, like, you know, from The Last Dance when, you know, that saw it, the Mutombo thing. And I mean, even before The Last Dance, like when he was talking, oh, he hadn't dunked over him. And then, you know, after the All-Star game, he dunked over Mutombo. And then, you know, when he says, oh, this is for you, and he closes his eyes and, you know, he sinks free throw. But when I think to Dikembe Mutombo, though, you're right. I mean, when I think about that, I think about him all the way back to Georgetown playing next to Alonzo Mourning, and John Thompson brought him over. And I remember, like, his accent was so thick, know, when he was first interviewed and stuff. But and it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like, but you know, his son had a his son, you know, had a great post on Facebook saying that, you know, he you know, people will, you know, love him. He was just a, you know, a great person and, you know, going through brain cancer and but he said he just, he always just cared. And I mean, even that's why I say going back to Georgetown, you just knew like, yeah, he had a future in the NBA, but all his, all the causes. And I remember seeing even when he, you know, was back in the NBA, obviously a lot of the, a lot of players that had come from Africa going back there and starting, you know, or growing basketball academies and just, you know, getting kids out and your kid, the kids seeing them, like we always talk about seeing someone, you know, where you're from, that look like, look at the road they've traveled. Now it wasn't easy, but right. I just always loved, like you said, you know, listening to Mutombo walk, like listening to him talk, you know, about things, especially as his career went on, but definitely the finger, you know. And I know, you know, Jordan gave it back to him once, but you know, I smile because like, yeah, you celebrate his life, but he was just such a phenomenal humanitarian. And, you know, the late great John Thompson, you know, would, you know, talk about that guys, you know, people talk about, you know, maybe players that, yeah, you know, they got scholarships at Georgetown and then, you know, Thompson made sure, you know, they got their academics straight and, you know, players and, you know, he brought in, but Mutombo, you know, it was like an opportunity. Obviously, I think they said that he spoke, I want to say one of the first Georgetown games I saw, Ian. I mean, again, I didn't look this one up because I just thought about it, but you know, he spoke like 9 or 10 languages. So it's
unbelievable.
Like,
I mean, it's unbelievable, but it's not because of who it is. I want to share this with everybody, the post that you were talking about. I was fortunate enough to find it. So I want to share this to everybody and just simply, I want to read it really quick. And then I want to take a 10-second moment of silence before we move on. This is from his son, Ryan Mutombo. He says, my dad will forever be my hero, not because of his success, not because of the millions who over the last 4 decades have come to know him and love him. My dad is my hero because he simply cared. He remains the purest heart I have ever known. At times, I thought my dad as a superhuman. The child in me would sigh to hear that this was never actually the case. My dad was a regular man who would stop at no lengths to honor the world, its people, and its creator. He loved others with every ounce of his being. That is what made him so accessible. That is what made him real. Dikembe Mutombo was salt and light. And today, on the 30th of September, 2024, he has been called to rest. I love you, Dad. Rest easy. We are going to take a 10-minute moment of silence, ladies and gentlemen, to honor Dikembe Mutombo, and then we'll be back. All right, welcome back in. So, great way to start the show, Mike, but you know what? It is, in fact, coming to the end of week 4 in the NFL. We got 2 games that we got to talk about, so much to get into here this evening tonight, but let's start with the Sunday Night Football matchup, which featured 2 AFC top teams, teams that we, in the years past, and I dare to say even this year, are playoff contenders. With a matchup that, listen, in my estimation, I would love to see a rematch and have it be for the AFC Championship game. We don't know if that's going to be the case, but Baltimore defeated the previously unbeaten Buffalo Bills 35-10, making this, in my opinion, not only a significant statement, but a much needed statement. I mean, finally, I guess Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, gave Derrick Henry the memo, which he's been waiting on this whole time. You know, 87-yard touchdown on his first carry. Finished with 199 yards. One shy of that deuce for 24 carries. He also caught one from Lamar. 13 of 18 for Lamar Jackson for 156. And we both love us some Josh Allen. But let's face facts. Last night, in Baltimore, the lights were on, Sunday Night Football, Josh Allen struggled.
You know, a little bit. And taking that point, just thinking about it, it's one of those things where Allen struggled, you know, a little bit. The defense, I think, got to him. But E, when I went back and watched, because I was watching the game, you know, full disclosure, I was watching, you know, here and there, but I was at a Sun Devil Soccer watching them getting a 3-1 victory. So forks up real quick. But no, I mean, I mean the first offensive or second offensive possession, the first offensive possession for the Ravens. I mean, one carry, 87 yards and a touchdown. But the problem with Buffalo, especially as that first half went on, Eric, they were pretty damn good on first and second down. But you look, and we've talked about, I mean, people talk about this a lot, but, you know, you talk about getting off the field on third down. Like, the, you know, I mean, even locally here, people, you know, the Cardinals got crushed. They didn't get that pick six. We talked about it last week. You know, so many times they'll look up and down, and the ball snapped, and it's like, oh, the ball was moving. Let it play out. Or it's not a delay of game. So it's one of those things where – It's third and, you know, 14 or third and 11 and third and 15 and the Ravens get 17. The Ravens get 15. I mean, in the first half and even in the second half, because Buffalo, you know, they started to move the ball a little bit better. But Baltimore's defense, you know, whether because it was in prime time or not, the defense to me, that's the one thing that they were able to get off the field and cause some issues. I don't think they got James Cook the ball enough. I will say that because you know when you're playing the Ravens, that's the one thing in teams of that ilk, you have to stay you have to stay patient with your running game. Yes, I'm not saying, you know, line up first, second, third down and run if you only gain, you know, 5 yards and punt and keep doing that every series, but you have to work it in. You become one-dimensional. And like I say, I don't want to poo-poo on Bears fans parade, but did you see how disgustingly amazing again Patrick Queen looks? Because it's ridiculous, and the Bears didn't want to pay him. But hey, you know what? Do I know? It's the Bears. Go ahead, Bears fans. I'm right here, like he always says. Not hard to find. Take your shot at me. But I know you can't pay everybody. If you would have paid him, you still probably would have ended up with Caleb Williams anyway. Nonetheless, but he's balling out. So when you look at giving up all those big third downs and keeping, you know, the Buffalo offense and Josh Allen off the field, who, you know, under Joe Brady, and that was the big thing, you know, Brian Daboll leaves and people were like, oh, is Josh, you know, and I know you, I mean, I probably thought it was a little more funnier than you did, but we kind of laughed at like, oh, is he digressing? And, you know, oh, is he just gonna, you know, constantly turn the ball over? Yeah. Brian Daboll was gone. Ken Dorsey, they let Ken Dorsey go. Joe Brady comes in and now Josh Allen is, everybody's talking about the weapon that he's been, but it's exponentially greater, because they're he's like, look, defense, you give me this, cool. Oh, I have James Cook, cool. We're gonna run the ball. Oh, I'm gonna go downfield to Kincaid. I'm gonna go downfield to these, you know. Oh, Stephon Diggs isn't here. Gabe Davis is here. You don't think I have receivers? Okay, well, you know, Shakir's here, open. But the Ravens did a disgustingly amazing, phenomenal job. If you're a Ravens fan, which you've been waiting to see this, but now it's about seeing it every week. So I think not getting off the field on third down is what cost Buffalo to overstate the obvious. But that many times, I mean, okay, it happens one series here, one third down here. You know, you're between the 20s. Maybe you give up a field goal. But, dude, Derrick Henry and that offense, that's why that's why I said to you today. So do you think that this is the offense? I mean, look, and I'm not overreacting, but I'm saying this is the offense we expected to see. Nobody was saying, I know you and I mean, some people may have, you and I weren't saying Derrick Henry slowing down. Everybody, I know a lot of people, and we heard the chatter in our box a few times. Oh, look at all the carries. He's, you know, yeah, one play, 87 yards, and he outran defensive backs at 250 pounds. Once again, Eric and I will wait for your comments on that one. But is that the offense for you that you could see winning a Super Bowl? I mean, look, winning the division, which is still going to be tough.
I don't know. To answer your question, Mike, I don't know. And my reason why I don't know is because it's only one game. It took them four games to get to this one point. You've had this man in your locker room.
They destroyed the Cowboys. He destroyed the Cowboys the week before.
Yeah. But again, it wasn't the Derrick Henry that we were really wanting. This game to me was, as we always say with regard to Derrick Henry, as the game goes on, he gets better. Okay? And that to me is what I saw with this. And with regard to answering your question, is Derrick Henry that final, or no, you didn't say that. You said, is this the Ravens offense that is going to lead them to New Orleans? And if you ask me right now, I'm not going to give you a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to say for me, the jury is still out. I want to see. I want to know that they consistently can do this with him, like what he was doing in Tennessee time after time after time after time. Why Tennessee each and every year was in a position to win their division or even make the postseason. If they can keep this consistency going, then my answer will be a resounding yes. But right now, feet to the fire, I'm betting my house, your house, Mama Carrot's Noodle's house on the line. I can't do it.
Right.
I just can't do it. You know, and that still remains to be seen. Good start. Right. Granted, it was 4 weeks in. Against a team that we anticipate is going to be in the playoffs. I expect this to be a rematch. When? Don't know.
Right.
Again, like I said, all love to Kansas City for who they are and what they do. But the expectation is for them to be in the AFC Championship game since that's been their basement since Patrick Mahomes showed up.
Right.
I would like to see Baltimore or Cincinnati, who finally got their first win, albeit against Carolina, or see Buffalo. One of those three, two of those three, I'd like to see them in the AFC Championship game just to give us a little bit of a mashup, a mix-up, if you will.
Right. I will say this to you.
Go ahead.
I will say this. It's funny. My cousin, who's a Steelers fan, sent me a nice message. I was going to paste it, but I figured I'd just copy.
What are Steelers fans talking about today?
No. Well, that, but they're still 3-1 in their defense, and – you know, of course, he can't stand the Cowboys, so you appreciate that, I know. But he's like, yeah, thanks a lot, Jerry Jones, for being a liar, not taking Derrick Henry. And he just said basically the same thing to you that you did about not being knee-jerk, but like 2 weeks in a row, Lamar Jackson thrown 19 passes. And he's always been on the ilk, like I've said on our show a million times and to you a million times, like every year in college he got more accurate and – he just, you know, completes his passes. Yes, we know if he's even with you, he's done. But now he has Derrick Henry, and, yeah, he's just mad at the Cowboys because he's like, you know, somehow the Cowboys would have screwed up even with Derrick Henry, but at least it would have kept him out of our division and the AFC. So, I mean, look, it is knee-jerk, but when you see the last 2 weeks, you know, over 150 and then 199, you know, people say, well, you know, he had one carry for 87 yards. Okay, guys, after that, he had 12 carries, Eric, for 112 yards.
Yes,
or exactly. Like 22 for 112, whatever it was ridiculous like that. But that's what, you know, when you look at it, yeah, because he had
he had a total of 199.
He had 23
and 24 carries.
12 yards. Okay, name a team that wouldn't take that. Like, okay, 23 carries, all 112 day. Yards. Yeah, so
– all day. But,
like I said, and I'm with you. It's not so much that it was knee-jerk, and you know me because I don't believe in the crazy overreactions one way or another. Yeah, sometimes I like to, you know, not that I would ever, you know, poke, you know, an Eagles fan. By the way, side note before we move on, absolutely disgusting with the Cardinals yesterday, but more disgusting that I had to, like, see fans wearing that crap team visiting shirt and one almost bumped into me when I was in public. I was like, oh, Washington, get away. You're disgusting. But
hey, anyway. Mike, we will talk about them at a later time, but right. We got a lot to talk about. And since I have to address the good with the bad, I also have to take the good with the bad. Let's call it what it is. A guy that we like, great guy. We met him in Arizona 2-3 years ago. Baker Mayfield. 33-16 over my Philadelphia Eagles. Mayfield, 347 yards and two touchdowns, also scoring, even though it was a one-yard touchdown. He scored.
Right.
I mean, everything that could go right in the first half, well, I should say the first quarter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, emphatically did.
Right.
And every mistake that the Philadelphia Eagles could have made in the first quarter, they made. Right. Here is what I will say in regards to that game, because as you know, it's here in Tampa. I watched the game. Unfortunately, I could not be there. I'm glad I wasn't, because now I can't say, well, it was because of me, because that would have been, I'd have been 0-2 going to Raymond James. What you saw from Philadelphia is nothing different than what has been played out since last year. I feel as though Philadelphia right now is becoming very one-dimensional. And what I mean by that is the one dimension is that Jalen Hurts got to put this all on him every single blessed week. Now, I'm a do my best, because I have people in my house who are trying to sleep, and I'm not going to do a rant, but trust and believe that a rant is coming, ladies and gentlemen, with regard to how I truly feel about this. For this purpose, what I will say to you is you can very easily figure out Philadelphia, even with A.J. Brown not in the lineup, even with DeVonta Smith, Lane Johnson, and now on the defensive side, my guy Reed Blankenship. There doesn't seem to be any mystique or any kind of mix-up or confusion. They are going to run the same thing over and over and over again, and it's the definition of insanity, because that's what it causes me each and every week. Listen, the Eagles are 2-2 on a bye, which I already can't stand, because for me it's way too early in the season, but it's called a main thing, the main thing. They got 13 days, excuse my language, at least for tonight, figure this shit the hell out before we play Cleveland. Because I can tell you right now, if more of what we have been seeing is what we're going to see, there's going to be a lot more Eric's rants coming down the pike.
Fair enough. But I will say this, and no, it's not just to, you know, prove to you that I can talk good about your team, because you know I did last year when I just look at the game itself. Now, to normally talk good about your team, no. But when I look at the game and I'm objective, like, yes, no, DeVonta Smith. When I heard Lane Johnson was out, I was like, good God. And then no A.J. Brown. I mean, you're going to key the hell out of Saquon Barkley, which, you know, not a surprise. But, you know, I mean, 10 carries for 84, averaging 8.4 a carry. Like, okay, not the most, but Eric, 8.4 a carry. It's almost a first down every damn time he touches the ball. So, like, I get it. And when, but it's for every team. So, again, like Eric's saying, it's not an excuse. Yes, you do need to figure it out. And that's why, you know, Todd Bowles is a phenomenal defensive coordinator. And yes, you know, I mean, Jalen Hurts' first playoff game, again, like, it was the playoffs. He looked, you know, the Bucs pressured him and they got to him a little bit. And sometimes we wiped that game. It's like, okay, quarterback in his first full year starting. Look at that in the playoffs. It could have, everyone's like, well, yeah, you know, they expect, oh, he's a quarterback, he needs to do this and that. And then, oh, but Tampa's got this great defense. It just seems even after that Todd Bowles, whatever they draw up, whatever Philly has to counter it, it's just a teeny bit off. That's what I noticed while watching the game. And from a fantasy note, very happy that Mike Evans had a nice day.
Oh yeah.
Nobody
Look, shout out to Mike Evans.
Nobody ever wants to draft him like the last few years. And I got him late. I told you this. Yeah. I got him late. Anyway, side note, yeah. But I will say
8 for 94.
Yeah. I mean, and a touchdown. And I mean, it's one of those things where, when I look at it, like, you can't tell me that I'm not going to say it's in their head, but like those injuries, because like with Lane Johnson there, and yes, obviously Jason Kelce gone, but your boy's been very solid in the middle. A boy that obviously Jason Kelce said, yeah, you should draft this kid. Like, look at, you know, the running game proving, like, you know, what Saquon's been able to do every week, except what was that week? Well, against the Falcons, I mean, he didn't go too crazy. And I'm not even talking about the drop. I'm just talking about rushing. Like, the Falcons kind of safely bracketed Saquon, because especially making sure there was enough people outside. But like, you get those people, you get those players back, and you can mix it up. And I mean, AJ Brown is, I mean, Devontae Smith is huge, but at a, like, when I see no AJ Brown for a few weeks, so he's back after the bye. I mean, look, I'm not, Eric, you know me, I don't play reverse psychology. They're going to destroy the Browns. The Browns are a dumpster fire. They can't look. That's a different story. The Browns are a dumpster fire. Nonetheless, like, it was tough yesterday. And yeah, to echo your point, like, you know, Baker Mayfield had to be traveled, but this guy, you know, again, the Browns drafted him high as a
number
as a
one. Oh, number
yeah.
one.
I guess, right. He was a number one pick. Yeah.
Baker was number one.
Saquon was number two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Right. So I, like, you get, you don't, again, it's that whole like Jets conversation, like we've had with you real quick. Like, if you don't have a line that's going to block for him consistently, and they were, but then, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. comes in and it's like, he's not getting on the ball. And we see Baker trying to spread it out. And it's like, all that mess, Mike, in Cleveland, and then he
spread
leaves.
It out. Mike, Carolina. Baker hit nine different.
Well, yesterday, but I'm saying in Cleveland, that, like, he gets booted out of, well, there.
You know what? I'm not talking Carolina, about Cleveland.
Goes to LA. That little bit with Sean McVay, again, absolutely awesome. And, you know, look, like I said, I of course don't want him to, you know, to beat my team, but like, I'm stoked for him, and it's a when he got paid in the offseason, like, it's one of those little things. And, you know, Mike Evans got extended last year, and people were like, oh, isn't he kind of old? Like you said, 10 for 98, and dude just keeps getting open. It's funny. Oh, he's so old, this and that. Then how does he keep getting so open in the end zone? Why is it these DBs just can't stay with me? I know you're not saying it. I'm just saying it to everybody else.
No, I get you. Trust me, because I'm
trying
to. But
again, unfortunately, I'm not out on the Eagles, and I get what you're saying, but those guys come back.
Like, Mike, you ain't got to be out on them. This ain't your team to worry about.
Okay, but I'm just
you
saying, like,
of other, all people.
Any national people media that's out on the Eagles is crazy.
You should be smiling right now, because
my team's terrible.
Okay, you might be terrible, but you're winning, Mike. You're still getting the job done. You are beating the teams that you're supposed to beat. And I can't believe I have to admit this here on the Sports Arena to you, a Dallas Cowboy fan. This is probably the last thing I want to do, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to be unbiased on this one. Okay. At least you're doing what is necessary. You're correcting your mistakes. Does ownership need to take a step back and let someone come in and truly manage that team so that before Jerry rides off into the sunset, he can get one more Super Bowl victory? Yes. Different conversation, different time. Philadelphia is built to succeed, and we are built to succeed today, not tomorrow, not next season, today. And when that doesn't happen, I don't place the blame on anybody else but the 53 men in that locker room to say, where the hell were y'all? I'm not going to do a rant. Like I said, one is coming and we got much more to talk about. But rest assured, it is September 30th. They got until October 13th to fix this, or else it's going to be hell the rest of the season. We are back in a moment, switching over to the WNBA.
Connecting your brain and body with interactive games and tests. Why is there no physical activity in today's health physical? Fraser is an holistic technology used to rehabilitate, prevent falls, and improve sport performance. Fraser reports provide you, your clinician, your physical therapist or athletic trainer, objective data to make decisions on your health and performance over time. Measure what matters to change your game. Take the Tracer Challenge. Confidence. Growth. Connected by Tracer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sports Arena. Your man, Eric Wilson, alongside my man, ASU. He's the Sun Devil, Jerry, Mike Caratenuto. So let's switch gears here because it is playoffs for the WNBA. We are in the semifinal round, and a matchup that I was hoping would be the WNBA finals, unfortunately, is the semifinals. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your popcorn ready because two of the best are getting ready to go at it, not only from a coaching standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint and just dominant athletes in the WNBA. And yes, I'm referring to the two-time champion Las Vegas Aces led by Asia Wilson alongside Chelsea Gray and Kelsey Plum going up against Sandy Brondello, head coach of the New York Liberty, featuring Breonna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, and Benaja Laney Hamilton. So, I mean, this matchup, and let's talk about the season real quick. Liberty swept the Aces in the regular season, but the Aces were without Asia the last time they met. Asia Wilson, unanimous MVP.
Yep.
She's averaging basically 26.9 points and 11.9 rebounds. But as I just said, she's going up against Breonna Stewart, who's putting up 20 a game and has the significant support from Sabrina Ionescu. So New York as a number one seed will host the first two games. I just want to see what's going to happen, not necessarily in game one, but
Vegas,
how the loser.
Vegas won game one last night.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank
you meant
you.
Game two. I know you meant game two.
Yeah, I meant to say, I want to see how game two plays. Thank you, Mike.
I'm like, wait, are they redoing game one? Did we get a mulligan? Sweet. I'm all for it. I know the players of New York wouldn't be, but I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
No, but and Becky Hammon said it perfect last night. He like, I'm going through stuff. And I mean, I recorded it because I knew like, and as much eyes as it has on it, I mean, I know, you know, people say, oh, well, Indiana's out and Caitlin Clark, blah, blah, blah. And again,
okay, hold on. Stop. I'm saying this right here. I wasn't going to do a rant, but I'm going to do one really quick just because of that. Hold that thought. It'll be short, I promise you.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Eric's Rant. Well, I always say I'm just a loud mouth with an opinion. So whether you like it or not, here it goes. And for the first time in a long time, Michael Caratenuto is joining me here. But Mike's not going to say anything because this is what I got to say. For all you bandwagon WNBA Caitlin Clark fans, okay? If you decide to stop watching the W now because she's not in the postseason, then guess what? Do me, all the purists who have been following this game, who appreciate and love what these women do each and every season, shut the hell up because I'm tired of it. The only way you're going to show face is if Caitlin is there. Caitlin is a phenomenal, phenomenal young athlete with a lot of time on her hand and a lot of talent in her body. So I fully anticipate that her time to shine will come. But for all of you who are just now jumping on board with this, and now all of a sudden, because she's not there, you don't want to turn on the channel, you don't want to watch and see great basketball being played, do me a favor. Get the hell out the way so that I can enjoy it, so that I can be the one to say, you missed a great game because your stupid behind decided that because Caitlin wasn't on the screen, you didn't want to participate.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm with you, but I was going to say it's the scheduling. Like, you've had so much good TV growth, not even just this season. Obviously this season, yes, but last season, like we talked about it, but you schedule game ones on a football Sunday afternoon. Like, And again, I know they had a double Monday night doubleheader tonight, and it's on ESPN. So it's kind of like, well, it's not going to, you know, be there. You know, even if you went an extra day and went Tuesday night, like, yeah, I know whatever wild card stuff starts tomorrow. But I see that and I'm like, man, you know, you could have. You could, there's more of an opportunity, like you said, because like the Vegas game, I mean, like I said, I'm watching it. I'm watching football. I'm watching, once the Vegas, New York game starts, I'm watching that. And I'm like, man. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to go back and watch it anyway, cause I recorded it. But yeah, Becky Hammon post game was like, it was hilarious. I mean, not hilarious. She's like, well, you can't get your, you know, ass kicked on the boards and then expect to be in transition and then get your ass kicked in. You know, not getting, you know, giving up, even though it was just one more offensive boards, but giving up transition, giving up this. I mean, you look at what Vegas shot, and again, it's kind of been par for, or New York shot. I mean, for the course, they were literally 50% from the fieldie, 30 for 60. Oh, 42% from the three, and then 82% from the free throw line. And they out rebounded Vegas 31-22. You know, I mean, steals 10-4, turnovers, Vegas had 10. New York did try to give him a chance and had 14. That was the only category, really, that Vegas had a shot in. And, I mean, Breanna Stewart, I mean, put in 34 last night. And it's like, I mean, she's just been on a tear. I mean, Kelsey Plum scored 24. Wilson scored 21. Young put in 17. And you're like, okay, you're feeling good. Then you look, oh, Stewie put in 34. Ionescu put in 21. Jones put in 13. And it's like, I mean, Sabrina Ionescu, I mean, in that closeout game against Atlanta, she put up 32. And like, yeah, I mean, a lot of us thought this probably would be the finals matchup. But with, you know, that other team, you know, and I know we'll get to in a second, Connecticut and Minnesota, like what they've done, like in just in the seedings in Vegas again, starting the season, you know, some players a little banged up and then finally getting, you know, Chelsea Gray back. And it's one of those things where, they handled Seattle in the first round and just moved on. But, yeah, the way New York's played all year, and like you said, it's just Sandy Brondello, again, just has that, being here in Phoenix, has that touch. But, yeah, you have to have the talented players, and you and I know that. But, I mean, what Breanna Stewart's been doing, and, yeah, Asia Wilson, I'm with you. I mean, if you go wire to wire, it's hard to say that she is not the unanimous MVP. I think, you know, East Coast bias would say, man, how can, you know, Stewie not be in that conversation? And again, she had a very, very solid season. But that's the thing, Eric. It was very solid. Asia Wilson's was just out of this freaking world. So, I mean, and sometimes it happens. But as we all know from them, how they, you know, teamed up on the Olympic team, it's a very formidable
duo. I said it once. I said it during the Olympics. I'll say it again. You put Breanna Stewart and Asia Wilson on the same team in the W, it don't matter who the other three are. That game is over before they even get off the bus, okay? It's going to be a great matchup. Let's see what game two brings between these two teams. But let's talk about the other set because,
man, Mike, that was brutal. That was a
Connecticut, brutal. Connecticut and Minnesota. I got all love for Dejanay Carrington, Alyssa Thomas. I can truly appreciate the Connecticut Sun forever, for whatever reason, but forever being that underdog that people, and I still to this day say, don't give them enough flowers. But man, when you look at what Nafisia Collier and Cheryl Reeves, the head coach of the Minnesota Lynx, are doing with that squad right now. Bruh, I'ma tell you like this. Connecticut better put everything and then some into this next matchup. Because, boy, let me tell you. Fee, as is what they call her, Nafisia Collier, 42? She put up 42 to close out Phoenix. And then has just been... They truly have that difference maker in her. I just want to see what they're going to do coming up in regard.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and yeah, like their game yesterday, which it took me a while to go back and watch, full disclosure, again, busy at ASU, but nonetheless, it took me a while to go back and watch. But I mean, you look at, and you mentioned, you know, I mean, Alyssa Thomas, who, I mean, played 39 minutes. Dawana Bonner played 33. I mean, she had 10 points and scored a ton, but Maureen Mabry, she literally, like, they get her here during the All-Star break in Phoenix, and she's traded. We all made a joke. We're like, oh, hey, did they just go to some sports store and buy a Connecticut jersey to, like, put on her or have it made over, you know, at the WNBA experience across the way at the convention center, Eric? Like, it was one of those things. But how they both played yesterday, and they can both – and look, they both play defense. They're going to pressure you. And to your point, you made that all season long. They've been that. You look at the scoring by quarter. Okay, Connecticut comes out 23-16 first quarter. Second quarter, pretty even, 22-19 Minnesota. And Minnesota holds them. They outscore them 24-15 after three. And if you're Minnesota, you're feeling – you're like, all right, you know, that's two quarters, middle two quarters. We've held them under 20 points a quarter. Well – Minnesota held them to Minnesota held them to 16 points in the fourth. The only problem, Connecticut went nuts defensively, and no, not fouling. For those that watch, like you said, for those that haven't watched, you're missing out. Minnesota only scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. Minnesota, like if you've watched them all year,
yep.
Like Eric said, Collier had 42 to shut out. Of course, you know, send the Mercury home, which sucks because. That was mine and Eric's champion. We were going to be hugging on the court. We were going to be hugging on the court. But we'll just have to wait till next season. And Diana Taurasi, you need to come back one more year. You can do it. You still got the fire in you. That being said, but like 8 points for Minnesota in the fourth quarter. And I mean, okay, yes, some of the shots, like, you know, towards the end, a little bit rushed. But it's a 73-70 game. That's how the Sun hold on. And both of them, like I said, had their swings of dominance. I mean, you look at Minnesota scoring, Collier led them with 19. Carlton had 17. And then, Kayla McBride had 12. And then Williams, I mean, she pitched in 8. But, and I mean, this is it's crazy. Minnesota's bench scored 8 points. And not that it's completely deep. But they both played 7 players. And Connecticut's bench 7 points. And I'm looking at that like, you got to be kidding me. Like,
And again, it
was just crazy. But like to hold Minnesota lastly, again, and I don't care if I repeat it, like 8 points in the playoffs in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Like I said,
but you that could, just goes.
You could have told me that and said you knew the future. I'd have bet everything and said you need to be drug tested.
Listen, that goes to Connecticut though. Connecticut on the road just has a different mindset. I mean, listen. Mabry with 20, Thomas with 17, Bonner with 10, Carrington with 13. I mean, you know, Breonna Jones threw in 6 there, but it's just how Connecticut has the resiliency. But we see this with them
right
in the postseason. Right. For whatever reason, they just can't put the final nail in the coffin. Maybe this is their time. I don't know. So let me ask you, Mike, because we're going into the games tomorrow. The first matchup, Vegas in New York. Liberty is up 1-0. Does Vegas tie it up?
Oh, man. Oh. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Firm answer, no. But Mike answer, if more inside out with Wilson and Plum and if they run it through that, I think the like I said, the more inside out. And then with Chelsea Gray, I think maybe a little more pick and roll. That's how Vegas does win. But I just think that New York, I mean,
okay.
They've never won one. And I hate picking against a back-to-back champ, but I don't think they tie it up tomorrow.
All right. So then let's go to the next game because I'm picking Vegas to tie this up.
Right, I was about to ask. This, wait, I'm like, wait. Before we go to the next game, what do you got?
And make this a series moving forward. What I said earlier, I have faith that Cheryl Reaves will not allow Minnesota to go 0-2 going back to Mohegan Sun.
Right.
I say Minnesota ties this up, and both sets of matchups in the semifinals of the WNBA playoffs will be 1-1 going into game three. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with you on that one. I mean, Collier wasn't terrible night. Shot 7 of 16, missed both her threes, but perfect from the three or from the free throw line. And I don't think Williams had a not great night. I mean, she was 3 for 12 from the field. You mentioned her, and the other key. I'm not saying Connecticut can't outscore them, but I don't see Connecticut holding them to again 8 points. And not that Connecticut's was much better. I mean, they scored 16, but when somebody scores 8, I guess it looks, you know, glaringly better. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I go Minnesota.
All right. Let's go back to the NFL really quick. Mike, if I was to tell you that at this stage of the game, the Minnesota Vikings would be the NFC team that is undefeated right now. Oh, by the way, they're by Sam Darnold. Would you believe me, number one? And number two, since that is the case, how are you feeling about this Minnesota team?
Good. I mean, look, I said last week, and people can go back and watch, but I talked about it. I mean, Kevin O'Connell and you and I talked about it. I mean, we both talked about it, how he's, you know, quarterback whisperer from that, you know, that Shanahan tree-ish, you know, and McVay, like coming from those guys. And Sam Darnold can make all the throws. I said this last, that's the only part I'll repeat from last week. He can make all the throws. If you have no offensive line and you're getting your quarterback killed, nobody can throw from their back. It's funny, they still haven't changed that rule in football. I'm surprised they haven't, you know, because everything's for the offense. But that being said, look, they picked up Aaron Jones. They went back to a running game. I can't be surprised. Minnesota, 4-0. And they're, you know, they're plus 57 points. I mean, yeah, the Packers, you know, fought back yesterday. But did at any point, if you watched that game, this is the question I have for people, and I watched it, did you really feel that Minnesota, you know, was not in control? Of course the Packers are. I mean, the Packers are a solid team. They're going to make a run. But
I did. I thought there was a point where – I thought there was a turning point where it looked as though Green Bay was going to usurp.
Pull it out in the end?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. I mean
– because of how much they came back. This wasn't a 31-14 or 31-17 type matchup.
Right.
Like Green – I know the final score doesn't always dictate what we see. But it did look like in the second half of that game, like Green Bay was going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at Minnesota, both offensively and defensively, and try to pull one out. I honestly did think that there was a point where Green Bay had more control than Minnesota.
You know, but you said it right there. Green Bay was coming back. Minnesota's getting off to these starts where it's like, damn, like people don't have an answer. Yes, you have Justin Jefferson. And you know what? If I'm Sam Darnold, you know, I thought he should have started the season anyway. I know they were talking about, you know, J.J. McCarthy. And I still think, you know, I don't know. And maybe they still would be 4-0 because, again, Kevin O'Connell calls a phenomenal game. And, yeah, sometimes you're just going to get beat. Sometimes the defense has the answers, like you and I both know. But Green Bay had to come back, and that, to me, that was the one the fast start. I mean, they just went down the field and scored. And then you get Aaron Jones, who it's a big game for him. Although it was cool to see how they honored him, you know, in Green Bay. Obviously, a lot of, you know, fans there. But Darnold, I mean, 3 touchdowns. He did throw an interception. Jordan Love, I mean, first game back, you know, maybe he rushed himself. I mean, that 4 touchdowns, but the Minnesota defense with 3 picks. And yeah, you only win by 2. So yes, that's alarming. But you also hold Green Bay scoreless in the first and third. Yes, they outscored you 22-3 in the fourth. Like you said, I mean, the fourth is like, oh, man. I thought in my head, though, I will be honest, I kind of thought, I'm like, oh, my God. I already started calling it. I'm like, is this a Ravens meltdown? But nonetheless, wow. But for Sam Darnold, to answer that question, I mean, 20 for 28, very efficient, right? Three touchdowns, the one interception. And then you look at, Aaron Jones, 22 carries. They're going to feed him. They got up big, and they started, 22 for 93. He didn't score. But still, Justin Jefferson, 6 for 85 and a touchdown. Jordan Addison, 3 for 72 and a touchdown. Josh Oliver even got in on the mix down on the goal line. It was, he had two catches for 10 yards and an eight-yard touchdown. I think it was, or whatever it was. But still, I mean, it's one of those things where they're staying balanced. And their defense, I mean, yeah, they did have one sack. But, you cause three interceptions. I mean, it's insane. But I still look at it from the standpoint of with the Packers, Jordan Love first came back. I think I would want Malik Willis one more week. Yes, they
would. Have made a difference, though, in your honest opinion? I don't want a Mike Caratanudo answer. Do you think keeping Willis in there for one more week, would that have made a difference in this matchup?
I think from the turnover standpoint, to answer your question, yes. I don't think, though, the final result. So that's not
immediate. So then what's it matter then?
Because I think Jordan Love looked like that first game he played when he had a fill-in for Rodgers in Kansas City. Literally, at times, he was like, you're getting – and look, hey – you're coming back, and again, I'm not saying they're trying to. Nobody's saying they're cheap shotting them, but if you and I are Minnesota's, defensive coordinators, what the hell are we doing? We're like, oh, we're gonna fine. He wants to play. Let's see how ready he is. You're gonna.
Well, I agree with you, but Jordan Love has had time to watch tape. He's had time to
agreed.
Sit there and actually not get injured.
Right.
So you got to see.
It's still not.
No, I get it. I understand that. But right. You played week one. If this was truly his first game back, if he had not played at all this season,
right?
Then I, myself right. personally, would have been like, okay, I understand. You got to get the ring rust off him. But he played week one. Granted, he got injured, but he played. Right. Okay, so he was at game speed. Field might have sucked, but you played. And you had a decent showing in Brazil. So that's why I say, and it's against right. a divisional opponent, an opponent who those matchups between the Packers and the Vikings going back decades have always been the games where you sat up and you paid attention. We always talked about the Lions up until 2-3 years ago, which real quick, shout out to our man, the Sports Reporter Without Pay. If you follow him on social media, you know where he's at. I'll just leave it at that. And kudos to him, because that brother's doing major, major things. But in years past, decades past, we knew where the Lions stood. We knew where the Bears stood. It was always that question of the Packers or the Vikings, the Vikings or the Packers. So when a matchup like this takes place, people pay attention. Because we want to see what's happening. Had it been Sam Darnold versus Malik Willis, I'd have picked the Vikings all along. I picked them to win this. No, I think I picked the Packers, didn't I? I mean, I have to go back and look. But regardless, not important right now. This Vikings team is just on a different course. And when you look at their schedule, now granted, they're on their way to probably London because they play Sunday morning at 9:30 against Mama Caratanudo's Jets. Then they have their bye week. And then here's their schedule. Let's just take up until Thanksgiving. They got the Lions at home, go to Los Angeles, home for Indianapolis, go to Jacksonville, go to Tennessee, home for the Bears. Looking at that schedule, those six games, we could be talking about a potential 8-2 team going into December? I mean, you know, I, in the words of our brother, rest in peace to the great Alex Fleming, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Like, Minnesota is that team that I don't think many people anticipated being in the conversation once J.J. McCarthy went down. But Sam Darnold has truly stepped up and been that dude. And we, I think, have to acknowledge right now, because it is what it is. Let's call it the main thing the main thing. The Minnesota Vikings are atop the NFC, the whole entire conference.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just wild to put that in perspective when you look at the other teams, a la a Philadelphia, a la a Detroit, a la a San Francisco, a la a Dallas, a la, you know, those teams that we just, a Tampa Bay, we just have come to predict, yeah, they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, going in tonight in the NFC, I mean, Minnesota and Detroit, or, and Seattle were the only two undefeated teams, and Seattle is down 35-27 at this point with 5:29 left to go in the fourth quarter. Eric, give you a little play-by-play there. And
No, I got it. I got it. Trust me, I'm watching it.
But yeah, I'm with you. You know, and like that's why I asked you, like, the division leaders. And as much as we, you know, despise that Washington team, I mean, yeah, if you would have said, you know, Washington, Minnesota, okay, Tampa, again, we said the South was kind of a throw-up, but with what they had coming back, I don't think people would be surprised saying, okay, Tampa's leading the South. Seattle at 3-0, and people say, well, they played this team. Seattle won. They just punched people in the mouth, and they won. So now
they're about to be 3-1, in my opinion. So
I mean, if Detroit scores here on this drive, and if you're ahead of me, don't spoil it.
I'm not.
Go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Please go to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Catch it, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Is that Amon-Ra St. Brown? No, it's
because Mike needs fantasy points.
No,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It but is.
Again.
Oh, my goodness. Touchdown for St. Brown. This is unbelievable. Right. Anyway.
Let's finish this up so that Mike can finish watching the game.
No, it's not fantasy. I had Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay. Well, then you good.
I'm good.
All right. So let's move on because we've got – you know what? Let's just go to the NHL. We'll talk Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we have time
for another time. So let's talk about some NHL because the season does start this Friday. Mike, I'm gonna let you run the ship on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stoked. I mean, they actually have the Global Series. The Devils, my Devils, are in Prague to take on the Sabres, and again, that's just absolutely freaking awesome. And, you know, other sports, people can say, do the – like with the NFL, did I mean hockey has done this a few other times. I mean, they started the Stadium Series, which anybody knows, pond hockey. I mean, look, you didn't have to be good at it, but you and I grew up around freezing weather. Even if you didn't play to watch people play pond hockey, it's absolutely awesome. Again, I don't even care if you're – you don't even have to be a fan of hockey. Like, you're shaking your head yes because, you know, you're like, you go out, and it's like one of those things like, oh, man, this is awesome because there's no wall. They're skating. They're still, you know, kind of – you know, banging on each other, but you can't get checked into a wall. It's a different mindset in a way, but it's awesome. But no, I mean, this isn't outdoors, but they're going to Prague, you know, and it is a global sport. I mean, you know, I always made, you know, the joke to you when you said, when you've always asked me like pronunciation for names, once I started doing play by play, I was like, I just ask, but I used to kid around and say, well, do hockey a few times. And believe me, you're going to go get with their media relations person and be like, okay, what's the phonetic saying? Like their names, you know, and it because, I mean, you know, whether it's Finland, Russia, you know, I mean, Canada, the Czech Republic, like all over the world, you have these players. It only makes sense to do these games. So I'm looking forward to the Devil season. I know, you know, your Flyers, but at least we can both root against the Rangers. I always say that for our hockey preview, but I think it'll be a fun season. It sucks the Coyotes aren't here and that the Utah team, they went to Utah and there's the Utah Hockey Club right now. So yeah, it's one of those things, but, yeah, I, I, I look forward to it, and I just want my Devils to get back to the playoffs and, you know, have Lord Stanley's Cup go home to where it belongs. That's my homer pick to it. But I think it'll be a hell of a season, and I can't wait to see, obviously, you know, what Connor McDavid and the Oilers do, too, at a break. And, of course, you know, I know Tampa lost a few guys, but your neck of the woods, you know, your Bolts.
No, yeah, I mean, I want to see what the Bolts
do. They're very well coached, but they're never out of it. That's all, lastly, what I'm going to say.
Listen, what I'll say is this. January 18th, January 27th, January 29th. Those are three dates that – oh, March 9th. Four dates that Michael Carasunudo and I will not be friends.
Oh, Devils.
Because that's when the Flyers play the Devils. So, you know, I'm just saying.
And but no, man, listen. Watching, you think Eric gets the most messages from me about Cowboys Eagles? He knows that's not true. It'll be out of nowhere, and the Devils are like, and it, because to me, it's like, and I obviously love the Cowboys, love football, but like hockey, like I always said, was one of my first loves. Eric's heard the story 20 million times. I couldn't skate backwards. And Mama Carotenuto and Papa Carotenuto said, you got one more season to get over that. I wasn't falling down like an idiot like Happy Gilmore, right? But I don't know. Like I told you a million times, and you still chuckle to say, I still chuckle. I just did not have the momentum going backwards. I could go forward good, and I could get in front, but it was, and side to side wasn't too bad. But they're like, yeah, if we're not spending this money if you can't do it, so you're done. Enjoy watching. Yeah,
that is the one thing I will say about Mike. Like when it comes to the Cowboys, when it comes to the NFL, I don't get a lot of messages from him because we do this show. So we have our chance to see each other and let it all out. But I will say outside of soccer, because I think that is, I know that is Mike's one true love. Because when Mike says he wants to kick somebody in the shins, trust me, it's legit. Okay. But when it comes to hockey, he's absolutely right. I could be sitting on my couch watching the game or watching whatever's on. And all of a sudden, I will get this long, I don't know how many O's Mike puts in a goal.
And then I'll ask him, oh, were you watching? I didn't know if you were watching.
Right. He's like, just in case, hey, are you up? Like, oh my God. But that Mike, I think it's soccer, then hockey, then NFL, which, you know what? Hey, kudos to you, my brother, because that is why you and my man, 50 grand, and I got so much love for you. Of course, I want to see what the Flyers do this year.
Yeah.
I want to see what the Bolts do this year. But the team that I'm actually very interested in talk to, if we get that opportunity, when we get that opportunity, I want to talk to the defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Because I am very, very curious to see how they are now being the hunted as opposed to being part of the hunt for Lord Stanley's Cup. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. My man, Mike Carasunudo, alongside your brother, Eric Wilson. Man, everybody stay blessed. I want to say thank you really quick before I get out of here tonight to everybody who reached out to me, Hurricane Helene. You know, we were blessed, at least in my neck of the woods. There was still some damage that did happen south of me. And to all of those in the panhandle and north of us, who are suffering, our thoughts and our prayers do go out to you because this season, hurricane season, is not a joke. Mike, I appreciate you always, you know, just reaching out, looking out for me, making sure that me and the family are okay. But I did want to take that moment and say thank you to everybody and that my thoughts and prayers, because there are so many who did lose a lot during this storm, who are going to have to rebuild. So I want to take a moment and simply say, if you are able to help someone get back on their feet, take that time to do it, because you never know when the shoe might be on the other foot. Much love to everybody. Everybody stay safe. We will talk to y'all soon.